We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
This question is from Joe Ostrowski at 670 to score.
Stupid. Thanks, Jordan. Jordan Malley, executive producer. Joe Ostrowski here until 10, 670. The score, 720. Evan Silva, my buddy from EstablishTheRun.com, will drop by, get his Bears takes, Bears, Panthers thoughts, and thoughts on the rest of the league. Does Le'Veon Bell have anything left? Does he?
Yeah, for sure.
Bears continue to get mentioned as a possible landing spot. He does. Monday through Friday. If you haven't checked out my show, Bet Sweats, please do. It airs 9 to 11 a.m. live on the free radio.com app. I know many of you listen to the score that way. So check it out. And if you're not available at that time, listen to the podcast. It's myself and NFL analyst Ross Tucker. We have three awesome guests lined up for tomorrow. So really looking forward to that, especially if you're into NFL, into college football at all. I suggest that you check out the show. We have a lot of fun. I wanted this is more about, it's not really a college football story, but I guess it is a little bit, because this is where the news came out about 5 o'clock today. Announced by Alabama that head coach Nick Saban and athletic director Greg Byrne have both tested positive for coronavirus. Saban went home to isolate. Says he did not have any symptoms relative to COVID. Steve Sarkisian will be the head coach. And what do we have this week? It's Alabama-Georgia week. Did anybody really think that Nick Saban was going to go out publicly while the SEC is just moving forward like nothing was happening in the world? He's going to say, oh, I feel terrible? Think he would talk about it like we heard Tommy Hotovy this year when he talked to the media about it for the first time? No, of course he's not going to do that. He's a rough, tough football coach. I have no symptoms. I don't feel it. Take a look at the list of players that have opted out of even playing in the SEC this year. The news to me is that there haven't been more prominent football head coaches that have tested positive with all the players that they come in contact with. All the college students. Other news in college football today. So Saban is positive. He's tested positive. A crazy line movement, by the way, in that game. The Florida-LSU game was postponed today. It has tentatively been rescheduled for December 12th before the scheduled SEC championship game. Florida-LSU. Florida reportedly had 18 positives from scholarship players, and 3 walk-on players tested positive. 21 players on the Florida Gators have tested positive. By the way, this is not the first game of the week in the SEC that has been postponed. Nobody cares about them, so nobody's talking about it, but also Missouri and Vanderbilt postponed this week. Did you turn on the TV on Saturday afternoon? We're told 25% is the max attendance at these games. Florida, Texas A&M, did you see it? That's why Florida head coach Dan Mullen was like, it felt like 50%, and it certainly looked that way on television to me. And he's saying, well, our game in the swamp, we want 90,000 people got killed for it, walked it back over the last couple of days. He wants 90,000 people in the swamp. Yeah, we're going to postpone Florida LSU. Did you see the Tennessee head coach, Jeremy Pruitt, on Saturday? Wasn't wearing a mask. He had a Tennessee Vols, I don't know, wrap. Not a wrap like that covers your mouth. Just a wrap that kind of went around his chin and covered his hair. And every time I've seen Saban over the last few games, He is wearing that mask at all times. But that's the breaking news to me, that this hasn't happened with more head coaches. That's where I think the news is. I mean, this is going to happen. It's going to keep happening, and here comes the Big Ten another week or so. It's coming back. And we get the information that they're willing to share. But yeah, multiple games are getting postponed, and I don't think anybody should be surprised. No. This is what's happening. Maybe the Big Ten made the right call. I don't know. We'll see how it goes for them. Let's keep in mind these SEC schools are in a lot of hot spots in the country. Florida was just in Texas, a hot spot. I've talked to people that recently moved down there, and they're living life like nothing's going on. Nobody's ever wearing a mask. So are we surprised that it's a hot spot? Florida's a hot spot. That's one of the reasons this game was postponed this weekend. So maybe it'll be a little bit different in the Big Ten in the Midwest. We'll have to see, and hopefully everybody's on top of it and everybody's following the rules. But Dan Mullen, I want 90,000 fans in the swamp. Yeah. They're going to postpone that game. Oh, coach, you've got 21 positives after our trip to Texas A&M. It's not going away. I would be pretty surprised if, you know, we're talking locally with the MAC has like a 6-game schedule or whatever it is. Even in the Midwest, where you don't have as many hotspots, I'd be surprised if they're not going to have to adjust their schedules. Look at what's happening in the NFL. I think most weeks we're going to end up with a doubleheader on Monday nights, and maybe I won't have shows on Tuesday because we're going to have Tuesday night football like we experienced last night for the first time in 10 years. That's going to continue to happen. It is. And I hear people talking about a college basketball season. I know the money is the ultimate motivator with all this, but let me tell you, I was around a college campus this weekend, and I try not to mass shame at all with people. But I'll tell you, I saw the people that were going into the game at Notre Dame, and I believe it was just students and parents of the players that were allowed in. There's no masks. There's no masks. Just walking in. Like it's fine, like nothing's happening, like there isn't a reason. It is a very limited crowd there. And Notre Dame is not known as a big party school. It's actually pretty tame. You have Notre Dame and you have St. Mary's over there, the girls' school. And once you get off campus, there's parties going on. There's a lot of them. I witnessed some of them. And were any drinking games stopped? No. Were there about 15 people crammed on a couple of tables playing all sorts of drinking games that I had no idea what they were doing? Like, I did my share of Flip Cup and all the other stuff. Like, they were doing stuff I'd never seen before. And you better believe they're drinking out of each other's cups, too. College basketball season? Really? You think that's going to happen? What's happening on these campuses in the SEC right now or some of these parties? So, I mean, this is just, it's going to continue. It's not going to stop. And maybe they'll get their football season in the SEC and here in the Big Ten. Maybe it's going to happen, but it's going to take a lot longer than anyone expects. And I don't think that's shocking news. The news here today is that we haven't had more head coaches around all those young kids that haven't had it. That's the news here. Yes, Nick Saban is your lead. That grabs a lot of headlines. It gets people talking. And he says, and everybody around the program has said, that Saban has been very safe, and he's always having the mask. He's not one of these people that get ripped on nationally. Like, the NFL is fining coaches six figures because they're not wearing the mask the entire time or the proper way. As far as what I've seen, that's not what's happening with Saban, and he still got it. Now, we don't know what's happening when the cameras are not around, but he went home to isolate. He's not going to coach this weekend against Georgia, and he says he didn't have any symptoms. Of course he didn't. Of course, I wouldn't expect him to say anything else because it's about number one. It's about the TV dollars. It's about football because I'm a football coach. I'm not here to tell you what they should or should not be doing right now. They're going to play football. And I don't care what anybody says. The Big Ten and Pac-12 were absolutely pressured into this, and so was the MAC. Money controls a lot of things. There's no doubt about it. Jordan Malley, my producer tonight. Jordan, I'm telling you, I'm not into the mass shaming thing or pointing when people are doing wrong or they're not following the rules. But it was amazing to see what some people are doing during this right now with some of the drinking games. Like, kids don't really care. I have no idea. Some of them say, like, yeah, it was just like a cold, no big deal, just had a little cough. But I don't know. I haven't had it, so I can't sit here and tell them that they're all wrong.
You're right too, and I think I try to think about it too, and is like, how would I feel? Like I'm almost 5 years removed from college now. Like, what would my mindset be back then at 18, 19, 20 when I know I'm not going home for a couple of months?
I'd be an idiot.
Yes,
100%.
Totally agree.
Sometimes you. Yeah, I mean, I'm sick of talking about it too, but it's news because Nick Saban tested positive for coronavirus, and the line is on the move because he's not going to be on the sideline. Is it really that much of a loss? You think Nick Saban's not going to be in close contact all week and talking to these players at all times? People texting me, quit shaming the southern states. I'm not. Talking about the news, what's happening? Florida LSU postponed. 21 players in Florida test positive right after they travel over to Texas. The Florida head coach is saying he wants 90,000 fans. I actually find it kind of comical. Maybe it's a little sick and twisted, but you sit there on Saturdays and I'm watching these games, and believe me, I want my college football. I don't want it to go anywhere. It impacts me directly. The sports betting show I do daily on radio.com sports, we're talking a lot of college football. But, I mean, please. Oh, 25% capacity. 6 feet apart. Okay. You can have 6 feet wide aisles where you don't have anybody. But guess what? They're all on top of each other, row after row after row. I mean, there's no social distancing. Come on. I mean, it's not shaving the southern states. We know what's happening. Talk to anyone that's living in states down there. They'll tell you. It's like nothing's really going on. Nothing. Joe Osho, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Coming up next, we'll talk Bears, Panthers, and the rest of the National Football League Week 6 card. And Le'Veon Bell, does he have anything left in the tank? We'll ask my buddy Evan Silva. This is Joe Ostrowski, 670, The Score, and the Radio.com app.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
Yo, Show Sports Radio 670, The Score, talking some Bears, Panthers, also the rest of the NFL. There's a lot of happenings throughout the league going on this week. For the first time in 10 years, last night we had Tuesday Night Football. So I want to bring in my buddy Evan Silva from EstablishTheRun.com. You follow him on Twitter by his name, at Evan Silva. And Evan joins me on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Evan, I'm thrown off because you kind of get in a routine once we get into the NFL season when you produce as much content, I know, like you do, over at Establish the Run. And we have a Tuesday game, and it's kind of a bummer. Tomorrow night, as much as we complain about it, we're not going to have any Thursday night football.
I know. It's like a big hole in the schedule. I wish that we had it, but, you know, the NFL has had to make a bunch of schedule changes to try to jam in all the games and not add that extra week, the week 18 that everybody keeps talking about, but has not yet been added to the schedule. Yeah. So the NFL continues to power through. I'm just glad that you didn't bring me on to talk about Tony La Russa, because I feel like that's all you guys have been talking about all day long.
I think people are just in shock right now. I know. Yeah. You're right.
I hear.
Well,
I hear.
So you're a Cardinals guy, right?
I don't know. I'm more into, like, betting at this point. I'm kind of like you, Joe.
There you go. Okay, perfect, yeah. Perfect. So we'll stick with the football. Let's start with Ryan Pace here as we jump into the Bears. Could you imagine having that offense and you bring in the offensive mind that you think is going to change things? You already got your quarterback. Okay, we know that's a big mistake. So in the offseason, you make the trade for Nick Foles. But not only do you do that when you had multiple options in free agency, could you imagine taking the offseason with your scouts, studying that Notre Dame offense, and you think the top pick that I need on this offense is named Cole Kmet and not Chase Claypool?
Ooh, boy. Yeah, I mean, it's like maybe he skipped over the bowl game because that bowl game for Chase Claypool, I think it was against Iowa State, that really opened my eyes to him. And he was kind of like a late bloomer. You know, he came out of Canada. He was injured a little bit early in his college career, but, you know, had an excellent final season there, an excellent final game there, and went to the combine, absolutely blew it up, like literally – athletic measurables that are on par with Calvin Johnson. But a lot of people got Chase Claypool wrong. So, you know, I'm all for criticizing Ryan Pace, but a lot of people got him wrong. To me, he was like a Vincent Jackson sort of player. And a lot of people thought that he should move to tight end, which I didn't see that at all. He was a perimeter playmaker at Notre Dame. And moving him tonight to tight end never made sense to me, especially when after you saw how athletic he was. He was a late bloomer, and he had really only one big season in college. But a lot of people got him wrong, no doubt. The Steelers certainly didn't, though, and they seem to always get these receiver picks right.
Oh, that's the big part of it, too. Like, it is easy after the fact, and I like to have fun with Ryan Pace as much as anyone. But when you see the Steelers draft a receiver, like, the first instinct is now, oh, they're going to be a really good player once they're immersed into that offense. Le'Veon Bell, it's kind of surprising when you look it up. You're like, oh, he's 28 years old? Really? As long as he's been in the league? Does he have anything left?
That's a tough question. He has been in one of the most impossible environments with the Jets. I mean, we've seen how many players have just come out of the Adam Gase offense and shown, didn't look like very good players when they were within the Adam Gase offense. And then all of a sudden when they get away from the Adam Gase offense, they are like premier talents. The biggest examples of that over the past 2 years have been, well, this year, Robbie Anderson is just absolutely crushing it with the Carolina Panthers, who, of course, the Bears are going to see this weekend. Those receivers in Carolina, it's going to be a great matchup against Jalen Johnson and Kyle Fuller. But obviously Ryan Tannehill, who we saw have a monster game last night, he's played really good football for an extended period now with Tennessee Titans. So I'm not entirely sure with Le'Veon Bell. I just think he's a really tough player to evaluate right now, but I do think he's worth a shot. I don't think he's going to cost a whole lot of money. He's not going to cost you a draft pick. He's not going to cost you, you know, a future compensatory pick. I think he's worth taking a shot on, maybe by the Bears. I mean, the Bears, you know, are probably feeling themselves to be quite, competitive right now. They're 4-1. I think that they're not as good, nearly as good as their record indicates. But hey, they are 4-1. I think that Carolina is another winnable game where you could get to 5-1. And adding depth behind David Montgomery, at very least, I think would be a savvy move, because if David Montgomery were to go down, if you already lost Tariq Cohen, you know, then you're talking about guys like Artavis Pierce and Ryan Nall. So I think the Bears absolutely should give Le'Veon Bell a look.
Yeah, he's been a lot of ties with some of the media covering the NFL. They keep bringing up the Bears as a possible landing spot. But if he were to come with the Bears to the Bears, Evan, it wouldn't be a great situation as far as the offense and the offensive line. James Daniels officially put on injured reserve today. How much is this going to hurt the run game, or lack thereof right now?
Yeah, that's a good question. It remains to be seen, because the run game at times this year has appeared broken. You know, I thought that they started off like maybe a little bit, looking a little bit promising, but I think it's been broken for the past couple of weeks. They did play Tampa Bay, who since last year has had the best run defense in football last Thursday night. But losing, you know, one of their starting offensive linemen, and they don't have a whole lot of depth on the offensive line either. So that's absolutely a concern. But that's also a reason that you know, to get these guys, these running backs, you know, certainly David Montgomery, and then if they were to bring in Le'Veon Bell, to get them the ball more in the passing game and not be a team that tries to bang it between the tackles, because that's just, you know, that's like that every time that you try to bang it between the tackles, you're like featuring your weakness offensively. Whereas, you know, getting your running backs out into space and throwing them short passes is just a really efficient way to, you know, work around your weakness on offense.
Most people in the sports betting community, the NFL community, calling the Bears frauds, and I understood where they're coming from when you looked at a few of their wins there. But I thought it was actually pretty impressive that Matt Nagy was able to bench Mitch Trubisky without losing a football game at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Did you walk away impressed after Thursday's win against the Bucks?
No. I don't think that, maybe with the exception of, I don't know, the fourth quarter against the Lions, and that's still the Lions, and the mm-hmm. second half against the Falcons, and that's still the Falcons, I don't think you can say that you've been impressed with offense whatsoever. This team, as a team, you know, is playing solid defense, but you know they're still only a plus five point differential with four wins and one loss, and they're averaging right around 20 points per game. So, you know, it's same old here. It's the defense carrying the team, and the Bears having to eke out, you know, 3-4 1-point wins, and you know that's a tough way to, that's a very fragile way to play in the NFL.
A team that starts 4-1, could we be looking at the end of the year and talking about the Bears repeating last year's 8-8 record?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, oftentimes regression hits, especially with these one score games, where, you know, you're kind of, I mean, it truly is a game of inches. You know, a drop pass here, a fumble recovery there, and you know, you win by one score, and then you know that comes back, that like regresses back toward the mean in the second half of the season, and you know they go 1-4 in very similar spots, and they end up, you know, 500. So yeah, I think that 500 is very much still in play, but you know, so is 10 wins. With the exception of the Packers, no one looks particularly imposing within the division, and I think that helps.
Yeah, we were actually talking about this during transition a little bit earlier today. I think it's pretty unanimous. Chiefs and Ravens, you're 1-2, but do you think there's a third-best team right now in the league?
Yeah, and you know, I would say that even the Ravens have not played up to the standard that we expect. You could even argue that the Chiefs, who just lost to the Raiders, have not played up to the standard that we expected. So it's a very, very wide open NFL. I think that the Steelers are really interesting because they have a truly, truly dominant pass rush. They have a dominant run defense. Their passing game with the emergence of Chase Claypool looks, you know, it looks like more dangerous each and every week. And I think that Ben has looked really good coming off Tommy John surgery. You know, that's a procedure that isn't really known, you know, to take place very much in the NFL. But we've seen what it can do to starting pitchers or relief pitchers or whatever in MLB, and they can come back and throw with even more velocity. And I think that Ben Roethlisberger looks as good as ever this season. They've got an average to above average offensive line. I think that they're a really dangerous team right now, and they're another team that has yet to record a loss.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by that game this weekend, Browns and the Steelers. Mm-hmm. Is Cleveland real?
Well, this will be a good game to, I think, discuss from a betting angle. I kind of hate betting on games where the spread is 3.5, but I think that, you know, in terms of like covers this week, I think that the Browns just do not match up well with certain teams. And I think that the Steelers are one of them. because they are very much built. The Browns are very much built at this point to be a rushing juggernaut, and the Steelers can take that away from you. And then Baker Mayfield really hasn't played that well this year. They've almost been hiding him, not allowing him to have a lot of pass attempts. And then in games where he has had a lot of pass attempts, they have struggled for the most part. So, but yeah, I mean, I think they've got a pretty good defense, and they can run the football, and they've got Odell Beckham. But I do think that they're a playoff caliber team, but I think the Steelers are going to take care of them this week.
Let's talk about the Niners, man. Not a lot of people saw that happening against Miami. 2 weeks ago, it was the Sunday Night Football surprise when the Eagles took down the Niners. We know about all the injuries, but once you start to look at this schedule, Evan, Rams, Pats, mm-hmm. Seahawks, Packers, Saints, Rams, Bills, like they might lose 8 in a row. Like that's possible.
Yeah, they're in trouble. I was actually on the Dolphins outright last week. Wish we could have got on that together, but they have lost so much talent, man. I mean, losing your bookend pass rushers in Nick Bosa and Dee Ford, and then defensive tackle Solomon Thomas after you traded away DeForest Buckner in the offseason. Richard Sherman hasn't played since week one. He's not going to play against the Rams on Monday night. You know, they lost their DB's coach, Joe Woods, to the Browns, and the Browns have looked really good on defense. Joe Woods has an amazing track record. Like, he was the DB's coach and defensive coordinator for the no-fly zone Denver years with Aqib Talib and Chris Harris. And so I thought that losing him was a big loss as well. And then their talent has just been stripped. So And who knows what we're going to get at the quarterback position going forward. High ankle sprains are one of the worst injuries that any skill position player can suffer. You know, we saw what happened to Saquon Barkley when he had a high ankle sprain last year, what happened to Alvin Kamara when he had a high ankle sprain last year. And Jimmy Garoppolo obviously came back too early from that high ankle sprain, was just spraying the ball all over the place, could not locate his passes. And he's already not the most mobile quarterback to begin with. So, yeah, it's looking like one of those years where the 49ers take a big step back and then everyone blames it on, being the team that previously lost the Super Bowl.
Yeah, of course. Not all the injuries that they were dealing with. A couple more minutes with Evan Silva of EstablishTheRun.com. All right, you called a big upset last week, and I'm looking at the card this weekend. I see four games with the spread of at least a touchdown. The Patriots against the Broncos, Colts looking to bounce back against the Bengals, the Dolphins mm-hmm. against the lowly Jets, and the Ravens against the Eagles. Do you think any of those teams should be on upset alert?
I did look at the card, and the one game that just stood out to me was Steelers to cover against Cleveland. I think the Bears aren't a bad bet. I think to beat Carolina, in a position where they are underdogs. I think that Philly could be a little bit dangerous. I have some concerns about Lamar Jackson's knee. I mean, he missed Wednesday and Thursday's practice of last week. He had a knee problem where he missed a little bit of time in training camp. I wonder if that's starting to build up on him a little bit. And then if the Eagles are able to get back DeSean Jackson, that could add another element to their downfield passing game. What is the spread on that game right now?
For the Eagles game? 7.5.
Yeah, Eagles-Ravens.
7.5.
Yeah, see, it's not even that many points. I don't know. It's a tough card this week, and we still have a lot of injury situations to hash out. So I don't know. I think it looks like a tough one right now, but we'll get some answers on.
And things could change after we start to get some of those answers. A lot of the listeners right here, they pay close attention to the Bears. They're not paying that much attention to the Panthers. They know they've won three mm-hmm. in a row. They have a brand new head coach. They bring in Joe Brady from LSU, bring in Bridgewater. Enlighten us about Carolina, the team that we'll be seeing taking on the Bears this Sunday. Teach us something about this team.
Yeah, they are a very like progressively run offense where they understand the value of throwing passes to their running backs. I mean, Mike Davis is averaging like 8 targets per game over the past 4 weeks. Defensively, they're playing a bunch of rookies, and they just lost their best defensive player for the season in Kawan Short. But they have played pretty solid pass defense without a strong pass rush. So I feel like they could break in that area that, you know, maybe they're just running hot over a small sample fluke and they've been getting absolutely crushed on the ground. I think that that's where you come out and you attack them. This particular week, I think that David Montgomery should get, you know, upwards of 20 carries because that's really where the Panthers have been getting hurt, and then losing Kawan Short, further diminishes what they're able to do up front. But offensively, they've been a lot of fun to watch. I mean, Robbie, under Joe Brady, who I think is going to be a head coach in the NFL as soon as next year. Teddy Bridgewater is having a career year. Mike Davis is having a career year. They've lost nothing since Christian McCaffrey went down. They are 3-0 without Christian McCaffrey, and they're favored here. So, you know, favored to start out 4-0 without Christian McCaffrey. They have played through a lot of offensive line kind of shuffling. Russell Okung, their left tackle, has missed time, and they've been fine without him. Robbie Anderson is having a career year. And then DJ Moore is their deep threat. The Bears have been pretty good at defending deep passes. So I think that Robbie Anderson is the guy that should scare them the most because they get Robbie Anderson, who's got a ton of speed, involved in the middle of the field. And he is really, really dangerous.
Evan, I don't care what Joey Kanish says. Josh Allen, it was a missed opportunity last night, but he's still in the MVP race.
I love it. And, you know, it's a really big stretch for him because in weeks 5, which we just saw played, and then in week 6, two back-to-back, you know, national audience island games, because they've got the Chiefs coming up next. So last night, Josh Allen took a hit, no question, but he can get right back in it if he outplays Patrick Mahomes, and he's a dog there. He's a big dog, but if he's able to do that, I mean, he's a big dog to win, you know, MVP anyways. But so this is the kind of thing that he needs to do to get right back in that race.
No doubt, man. And keep posting that picture of him with the cat on Twitter, okay? Kanish.
All right.
Evan Silva, establishtherun.com. Thanks, Evan.
Thanks, Joe.
Good stuff there from Evan Silva. Check out the great work that they produce over there. If you're a big NFL fan, fantasy, gambling, whatever, they've got it all covered at establishtherun.com. If you don't know who Joey Kanish is, it's basically a degenerate guy on Twitter, and he's been ripping Evan for months and months because Evan put it out there. His strong opinion going into the year is Josh Allen could absolutely win the MVP, and after the first month of the season, he was looking dead on. And just because of that one game, no, it was a nationally televised game, but it doesn't mean he's out of the race. Like Evan just put it, if he goes toe-to-toe with Pat Mahomes, they pull off the victory, Allen has a big game, he can get right back in that race with Russell Wilson. We'll talk some more Bears on the other side. Le'Veon Bell, is there anything left? Yeah, he was in a terrible situation. We'll talk about that next. Joe Ostrowski here, 670 The Score and the Radio.com app.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I think he's a good running back, but, you know, I know that there's obviously when somebody like that gets released, you know, there's always people that ask questions to every team across the league. And, you know, that's stuff that I leave up to Ryan. I just know this. I know that that we absolutely love our running backs here, our situation. And, you know, I leave that stuff up to Ryan.
Yeah, I'm not answering that question. Bears head coach Matt Nagy meeting with the media. Le'Veon Bell is available, and it is a bit surprising to see that he's still only 28 years old. So he's got some time left, but we know it goes away quickly with some of these running backs. Joe Ostrowski with you on 670 The Score. We're going to hear from Dan Orlovsky in a quick moment because I thought he had some interesting things to say. But, it, you know, he's clearly on one of the worst, if not the worst offense in the NFL. And some of you are thinking, well, Joe, that would be the case if he were to come to the Bears. Well, yeah, you're probably right based on what we've seen so far. But how do you really judge someone? He got paid and good for him. And he actually thought he was going to make much more money. Here's Bill Barnwell, ESPN.com. He listed off a bunch of possible destinations for Le'Veon Bell. And the number one place he put down was the Bears. BetMGM, they put odds out on this. Who's the favorite? Bears, 4-1. Here's Barnwell. I'll start with the Bears, who are the most obvious fit to me. Matt Nagy's team is 4-1. And while you can poke holes in Chicago's resume, ESPN Football Power Index gives the Bears a 55.8% chance of making it to the postseason. They also have approximately $10 million in cap space, so adding a small salary to their roster won't be an issue. Bell would be a replacement for Tariq Cohen, who went down with a torn ACL at the end of September. Dave Montgomery is on the roster and would still be the featured back, but the 2019 third rounder hasn't looked good as a primary back, failing to top 30 yards rushing or receiving in each of the past two games. Chicago has used Cordell Patterson as a change of pace, but Bell would immediately step in and take Cohen's role in the offense, which would be something in the ballpark of 8 to 10 touches per game. Here's a former quarterback in the league, who I think is now a terrific NFL analyst, Dan Orlovsky, talking about Le'Veon Bell, and he drops the Bears. He goes out of his way to mention the Bears on the Pat McAfee show.
If you're a Jets fan, you're seeing just a couple of your best players, I don't want to say like tweets or potentially speak out about your head coach, and I think you hate at this point. Now you get rid of Le'Veon Bell. There's a good chance he's going to sign somewhere for vet men. The Jets are going to have to pay him $6 million or $5 million, and he's going to have a great year. Do you agree with that, or you think he's kind of washed and washed up at this point?
No, he can still play. You know, yeah. I'll touch on this with the Jets. Listen, the Jets are going to – their number one goal is to go 1-15. That's the only goal they have right now. Go 1-15 and get the number one pick. I'm just telling you, I have Clemson on Saturday for my college football game, and I talked with Trevor Lawrence for like 20 minutes today at 12:30. That dude's an absolute bona fide superstar. Like, he's going – if I'm the Jets, I'm begging to get the number one pick. So, I agree with the decision to move on from Le'Veon. They're going to get a new coach, all that stuff. Now, with Le'Veon, I don't think any team that, one, is a non-contender, or two, doesn't have, like, a good locker room culture should go after Le'Veon Bell. If you're a team that's got a good locker room culture and you're a contender, go get Le'Veon Bell and don't use him as a running back. You don't have to. Like, it's the NFL in 2020. You should just go get him and use him as a piece. 12 to 15 touches a game. Maybe some of it is in the run game. A bunch of it should be in the screen game. A bunch of it should be lined up in the slot or some stuff like that. And so Cleveland, high on my list. Pittsburgh, high on my list. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I've said this for weeks now, dude. They need a pass-catching running back. Don't tell me it's Leonard Fournette. Don't tell me it's Ronald Jones. I think Philadelphia could be in the conversation. Chicago, for sure. Thank but you. If I'm the Bucks, I'm going, I need Le'Veon.
Hey, why was Adam Gase unwilling to do all that? I know Le'Veon was banged up a bit this year, but why didn't he do that with him?
I don't think he can. You know, I don't think he knows how to. I've always said this, like, dude, I'm a 6'5", 200-pound, really, really unathletic white dude. Oh, okay. I cannot dance. No matter how much I go on YouTube and type in learn how to dance and watch those videos, I'm not going to be able to dance. So Adam Gase, no matter how much he watches fun offenses in the NFL, he doesn't know how to call them. He doesn't know how to use those pieces. So it's just mainly like he's only learned one offense. That was Peyton's. That was the only one. The only offense he's learned. So he doesn't know how to adapt.
That was Dan Orlovsky on the Pat McAfee Show. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Something I can't stand, and it happens in every city, right? A lot of NFL teams, if they don't have a stud running back, that city, that media is saying, go get the player, go get him. Name value, I know him. He once was great. He'll be great again. Give him another chance. Everything was messed up with the Jets. That part is true. But it's just so predictable. Either a player that we used to have that had some success elsewhere, go get him. They're going to be great again. especially in the NFL, when we're talking about running backs specifically, and they drop off the table so much. But what Orlovsky was talking about right there, you can't tell me that the Bears' offense would be in a worse place with Le'Veon Bell as RB2. I can't buy into that. I know they have a poor offensive line. They just have a poor offense overall, and he's in a terrible situation, and he's 28 years old, and he hasn't been used a bunch over the last couple of years. If he's willing to sign for not a ton of money, and you can get him on a cheap contract, and he's still motivated to play, and they tell me how great Nagy is, and the locker room players love him. Like, the culture that they've built there over the last few years, according to them, the addition of Le'Veon Bell to that locker room isn't going to change all that. So I think it's worth a shot. I'm not guaranteeing you that he's going to be great wherever he lands, but the state of this Bears offense, why wouldn't you try something? Why wouldn't you try Le'Veon Bell? Involve him in the pass game, because clearly Matt Nagy doesn't trust David Montgomery there. He barely trusts to get the ball in his hands as is. Even though Montgomery would probably still be RB1, maybe Le'Veon Bell could have the bigger impact in this offense. Not at the level of Allen Robinson, but where are your other weapons? In the red zone, Jimmy Graham's a weapon. Cool. Anthony Miller? I don't know. Shrug of the shoulders. When I start looking at the snap count, or when you're looking on the field, a lot of times you don't see Anthony Miller out there. You see a fifth-round rookie wide receiver on the field much more in Mooney, even though they do play different positions. There's more trust in Mooney than Miller right now. So where's the next player that's going to step up in this offense? Le'Veon's probably worth a shot if he's willing to go. And you look at that 4-1 record, all of a sudden it's probably enticing to Le'Veon Bell. Probably is. Joe Ostrowski with you. We'll continue to talk Bears, Panthers. We'll bring you an interesting segment that we did on Bet Sweats earlier today. And at 9 o'clock hour, we've got Score Rewind. So a lot coming your way. And we're still going to talk about this Tony La Russa situation. Absolutely fascinating. Joe Ostrowski here, 670 The Score in the Radio.com app.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.